If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. I would have liked to have went a different direction tonight, but I couldn't get anything on my heart to go a different way. So we're going to go back and God willing, just look at some things here together tonight. I was telling Brother Jason on the parking lot a while ago that I have this book here tonight. It was in my bedroom. It's called Through the Bible by J. Vernon McGee. I believe there's about 5 volumes of it. And this one goes from Joshua through Psalms. And it was a blessing to me to pick it up last night. I'm nobody. But to read some of the things that I read concerning the text that we preached out of Sunday. This book was copywritten in 1982. Brother J. Vernon spent many years preaching on the radio. And I'm going to read just a couple of excerpts out of it during the message tonight. But one of the things that he magnifies is that history has a way of repeating itself. And he even drew a parallel. Now, if it was copywritten in 1982, I imagine it was written before 1982. That's how that would normally work. But one of the things that he did was drew a parallel between America and what's going on in America and what was going on in the days of the judges, when the Bible said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I hope and pray that we can be a blessing to you tonight. I'd like tonight to, just for the sake of time, to read the last verse in the book of Judges. The Bible said in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, I believe it's possible, whether you're talking about the church, where you're talking about the home, whether you're talking about the country, to have somebody in a position with a title that's really not a leader. I believe in our homes there are men that are called husbands, but they're not leaders. I believe in our pulpits there are men that are called pastors. There are even women that are called pastors, but they're not leaders. And in our country, you can have senators and congressmen, congresswomen, if you want to make a distinction. You can have a president, a vice president, and still not have a leader. We can have generals in our army and still not have a leader. Our world is starving to death for leadership. Pray with me. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence once again. God, I need you tonight to clothe us in our calling and help us, our Lord, in the service tonight. God, I know tonight that you know exactly what we need even before we ask. But Lord, you said to ask, and we should receive. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We talked about on Sunday morning one of the things that all of these chapters, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, was confusion. And I don't know if you've seen anything this week, but on our college campuses all over America, they're in favor of the terrorist called Hamas, and they're protesting and marching against Israel and against America and against America's leadership. It's a sad day that we live in, but I want to read this because it paints the picture perfectly. J. Vernon said in chapter 17 through 21, we have presented the philosophy of history that was mentioned in the beginning of the book. We have seen it illustrated in Judges as the hoop of history. I've never heard that term before, but when he talks about the hoop of history, what he's saying is if you roll a hoop down the road, it rolls back over to the same place. You've heard this. I've heard this before. History repeats itself. You've heard that. He said, as the hoop of history rolls over and over, it starts with Israel in the place of blessing. I mentioned this Sunday morning. They're serving God. Then they're in a departure from God and they do evil. They follow their own way. Then they're sold into slavery. In their slavery and servitude, they cry out to God for deliverance. Then they turn to God and repent. Then God raises up judges to deliver them. Then Israel comes back to the place of blessing and becomes a nation that serves God. Just when everything is back in order, they lapse into sin and turn from God again. Altogether, Israel went through 7 apostasies. This gives us the philosophy of history. Here's what I wanted to get to. Every nation goes down in this order. By the way, beloved, we need to pray for America. We really do. America is not headed in a good direction because America is not headed in God's direction. America's not getting better, but we're in trouble as a nation. Here's how it says. They go down in this order. First of all, religious apostasy. And what that is turning your back on the truth. That is not ignorance. Apostasy is not ignorance. There's a lot of people in the world that are ignorant of the Scripture, but they're not apostates. Apostates is facing the truth and saying, I don't want that. I'm turning my back on that truth, and I'm going to do my own thing. Israel knew the truth. Amen? And yet they did, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Here's what he said. Now listen to this. First of all, there's religious apostasy. The next thing is moral awfulness. That's what J. Vernon McGee said. Are we not in that place? Morality is sold down the river. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if they're married. It doesn't matter if a man marries a man, a woman marries a woman. It doesn't matter if it's somebody else's wife. I'm just telling you, beloved, it starts, listen, with that religious apostasy. By the way, if this is not our guidebook, where is our guidebook? Where are you going to find morality outside of this book? And so there's religious apostasy, and then he said there's moral awfulness. But I want you to think about this in light of the news today. There's political anarchy. There's an upheaval. There's an uprising. Amen. I'm going to take you to Scripture tonight and show you something that I do not wish, I hope it does not come to pass in America. But I'm going to tell you as your pastor, I believe we're swiftly heading to the place where something's going to have to give. Does anybody understand what I just said? Something's going to have to give. Beloved, there's a lot of people that don't understand. But listen, you can't coexist with everything coming and going. Amen? And beloved, listen, I told you Sunday, what's going on in the city is coming to the country. You can mark it down. Amen? There's some more I want to share from this in a little bit. But right now, let's go to Judges chapter number 19. Judges chapter number 19. The Bible said here, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, there was a certain Levite, he sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible said, and his concubine played the whore against him. So, beloved, one of the things that happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, is there's gross immorality. And it's everywhere. Let's see. Miss Eve, we went to Liberty Baptist Church in 1995. This would have been around 1996 or 97. I was pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Carter's Valley. A man from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry came to our church. He had a burden for the kids in the schools. And I'm telling you, he stood up, and it was an auditorium full of kids. And he stood up to talk to the kids. And he, of course, he couldn't preach to them. You understand, he was in a public school. He wasn't allowed to preach to them, but he was talking to them about character concepts and character things. I have never in my life seen so much disrespect in one place in all of my life. Those kids, Brother Junior, acted like nothing was going on, like there was nobody even up there. They talked to each other. They jested. They joked. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, this was what 1997 would be, what, 25 years ago. 25 years ago. The Bible said here, his concubine played the whore. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal about that? Well, what he was bringing out was a lot of the things about the diseases that were being spread at that time and the danger of AIDS and different things, beloved, that was going on in society. When we left the auditorium, so help me, they had each other pinned up against the lockers doing things that you think would be done in the bedroom. Are you listening to me? It was gross. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a society that as a whole don't want to hear the truth. Amen. And when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, there will be gross immorality. And by the way, let me say this to you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. It's went on in the church for years. Amen. You hear them stories about the pastor and somebody over there, and it hurts the cause of Christ. It doesn't matter whether they're our stripe or not. Amen. Beloved, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. The Bible said, and his concubine played the whore against him. He went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and there was there 4 whole months. Her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. And he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodged there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, he arose to depart. The damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down, and they did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all the night. Let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat both of them. And when the man arose to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. He's just trying to get him to delay. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, thine heart be merry. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. Now, I want you to see some things tonight. Here they are. They're going back to this place here when they were in verse 11, where the Jebusites are. The Jebus, the day was far spent. The servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city of the Jebusites and lodge there. And when they get there, something happens. I'm talking about gross immorality. Drop down with me, if you will, into verse number. He met an old man. I'm not going to read all of the scripture. The old man takes him in and says, don't stay here in the street. Come on into my house. He brought him into his house, verse 21, and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. They wanted that Levite to be given to them. And they wanted to commit acts of sodomy, that we have a kind of a repetition of what went on in Sodom with Lot. You remember that, don't you? Amen. And he offered his daughters. Watch this now. The Bible said here, Bring forth the man that came into thine house. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a handmaiden, and his concubine. I want you to think about that for just a minute. You talk about gross immorality. Here's my daughter. And the Bible said, a maiden and his concubine. And I will bring out now, humble ye them, and do with them as seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her, watch this, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Let me just say something to you tonight. Please hear me well. Beloved, there's tents set up all over these college campuses. Can I tell you, I promise you, the immorality is gross. There's no telling what's going on, amen. But there's a God in heaven that's watching every bit of it. And he knows what's going on. This is what happens whenever a man does that which is right in his own eyes. Watch this now. They abused her all night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, let us be going. But none answered. May I say to you tonight, listen, you have to read the Bible carefully. What we're learning here is the woman is dead. She has died. She's crawled back to the house, laid her hands on the threshold. Are you listening to me tonight? That's how bad it got when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let me say this to you tonight, beloved. Listen, one of the things that's happening in America day after day after day after day, the fentanyl's killing our youngins, amen. And you want to know why? It's because we've got a bunch up there that's doing what's right in their own eyes and not doing what's right in the eyes of God. More concerned. Listen, I'm concerned about borders overseas, but we ought to be just as concerned about our own border. They're killing us, and they ain't even firing a shot. Sickening. It's sickening. Here lays his concubine, her hands folded over the door, the threshold. Watch this now. I'm talking about, beloved, gross immorality. But I'm going to show you something here, beloved, that will blow your mind. He said unto her, Up, let us go, be going, but none answered. Then the man took her upon his ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. You say, Pastor, what in the world is going on? Well, I'm going to tell you what's fixing to go on. Listen to me. Why did he do that? Brother Dale, I'll tell you why. He wanted all the tribes to know how low that they had sunk. These beloved that had done this act were out of the tribe of Benjamin. And beloved, there's going to be a war because of it. Let me tell you this, there's going to be a civil war because of it. Amen. I told you a few Sundays back, we hear this and we see this, and if we're not careful, we become numb to it. But it'll be different when it's your youngin' and my youngin', or your grand youngins and my grand youngins. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to wake up and pray. Watch this now. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. Then all the children of Israel were in verse 20, went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan, even unto Beersheba, with the land of Gilead, and the Lord, unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people and all the tribes of Israel presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. The Bible said here, now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came unto Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, the lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose up against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine have they forced, that she is dead. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, what really happens in this text? Let me tell you what happened. Let me explain. It's come to a head. That's exactly what's happened. Amen. The wickedness and the immorality, it's come to a head. And there's going to be violence now like you've never seen. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. If you'll read the rest of the book of Judges, you're going to find out, beloved, listen, that Benjamin wins the first two battles. But thank God Almighty, Israel won the war. I'm telling you, Israel wiped them out. Amen. As a matter of fact, you're going to find, if you'll read your Bible, beloved, they had to bring 400 virgins back for those that were left, amen, and Benjamin, so the tribe wouldn't be wiped out. That's how bad it gets when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. You say, Pastor, there'll never be a civil war in America. I hope not. I do. I hope not. But let me ask you something. We're going to have to decide, is it going to be this book or is it going to be the Quran? We're going to have to decide, is marriage a man and a woman? Or is it whatever man thinks it ought to be? And beloved, I'm telling you, we are in the way of the movement that's trying to take place in America right now. We're in the way. We're hindering it. We're hindering it by our prayers. We're hindering it by our stand. You're looking at a preacher that believes our Lord Jesus is fixing to get us out of the way. And let them have it. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I thank God Almighty. Amen. That I've got a woman. And that I had a desire for a woman. That I've never been mixed up about that. Amen. I thank God Almighty, beloved. Listen, that I'm not interested in the drugs this world has to offer and the drink this world has to offer, because I got to drink 11 water. Amen. Notice what the Bible said. Verse number 13. Now therefore deliver us to men, the children of Belial, which are of Gibeah. Put them to death, and they put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren. The children, the Bible said, would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah. Can you imagine somebody wanting to defend this mess? Oh, you say, Pastor, they've lost their mind. What about somebody that's defending Hamas? That comes in there and rapes those women and kills those babies. Are you listening to me? Who in their right mind would defend that mess? The Bible said the children of Israel numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all those people were 700 chosen men, left-handed, everyone that could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. If you can sling a stone spread a hair, you're doing pretty good. Say amen. I have a hard time doing that with a rifle, but I can do it. Amen. The Bible said here, it rose up in the morning, verse 19, and camped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out and battled against Benjamin. The men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. The children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day. I underlined it. 22,000 men. It ain't looking good. Beloved, what happens whenever man does that which is right in their own eyes? I'll tell you what happens. People die. They die. And they die by the multitudes. Drop down with me, if you will. And Benjamin went forth in verse 25 out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel. Again, 18,000 men. And all these drew the sword. That'd be misheard. 22 and 18 be 40,000 now that's died out of the children of Israel. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. I mean, they're fighting for what's right. They're fighting against the Benjamites. They're fighting against these men of Gibeah. Yeah, but go back and just remember, beloved, every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And so they've got their little G-O-D-S's too. Amen? Watch this now. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, verse 27, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. They're getting back to God now. Watch this. Shall I yet go out and battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. And the children of Israel went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways of which goeth up to the house of God and other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us. They are smitten down before us, as at the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city into the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even to the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel. And the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin. I like that. It didn't say Israel. It said, and the Lord. Beloved, you know what Paul said? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, when Israel couldn't get to them, God got to them. Amen. Watch this now. The Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,100 men. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites because they trusted in the liars in wait that they had set beside Gibeah. And the liars in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liars in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. There's a civil war going on. Beloved, I told you a while ago, Israel lost a battle. Israel lost another battle, but Israel won the war. Can I say this? If Thank God Almighty, greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And we might lose a battle here, and we might lose a battle there. I'm sure the churches in Bristol, Brother Jack, when they put in their gambling casino up there, they fought and they fought and they stood and they stood. I'm sure they thought they lost the battle. But I'm telling you this, we win the war. At the end of it all, we'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what happens when you do that which is right in your own eyes. Death, destruction, immorality. Beloved, you think about how cold it is to take your concubine's body and cut it up in 12 pieces and send it throughout all the land of Israel to all the tribes. It's a mess. Well, if you haven't noticed, we're in a mess in America. But thank God we can still turn to the God of heaven, amen, and see Him work in these days. I want to read this to you tonight, and I'm going to quit. This is over here out of J. Vernon McGee's book, Through the Bible. He says here in this 20th century, now we're in the 21st. He says here in this 20th century, the heads of state would do well to study the book of Judges. Back in 1928, please listen, when the Depression first began, a brief editorial appeared in the Wall Street Journal, which went something like this. This was in 1928. I'd love it if Brother Brian could hear this tonight. He likes stuff like this. What America needs today is not government controls, industrial expansion, or a bumper corn crop. America needs to return to the day when Grandpa took the team out of the field in the early afternoon on Wednesday in order to hitch it to an old spring wagon into which Grandma put all the children after she washed their faces shining clean. And they drove off to prayer meeting in the little white church at the crossroads underneath the oak trees where everyone believed the Bible, trusted Christ, and loved one another. J. Vernon said, where did our trouble begin? Because our trouble is primarily spiritual. It actually goes back to the church. The church went into apostasy. Then our problem centered in the home with the drugs and the generation gap. Trouble has now moved into the political circles, and we have anarchy. Beloved, listen, even in the Senate and the House of Representatives, they're not afraid anymore, beloved, to stand up against the law. We've got a president that said, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's anarchy. You try getting by with it. You try doing 85 when the speed limit's 55 and when the police officer pulls you over, say, I don't care what the sign says, sir. I'm going to drive as fast as I want to drive. I used to play Monopoly. There was a little thing on there that said, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Amen, Brother Jack. You was a police officer. That's what you do, isn't it, brother? My grandpa got pulled over in Bel Air, Maryland. The officer said, sir, this is a one-way street. Grandpa said, I wasn't going but one way. That don't work. Amen. I heard a story about a woman that called her husband up on the telephone, said, honey, be careful out there. Please be careful. I saw on the news where there's somebody on the interstate going the wrong way. He said, honey, they're all going the wrong way. You'll get that after a while, amen. They're all going the wrong way. It was him. Our problem centered in the home. The drug problem, the generation gap, trouble has now moved into political circles. We have anarchy. People say if we could just change this or that or put in this party or that party, everything would be fine. All of this is perfect nonsense. What we need today is to get back to a spiritual foundation. That is where we went off track, and that is where our troubles began. We have seen in the book of Judges the philosophy of history, and the hoop of history is still rolling. Here we are 50 years later. Brother John, it's still rolling. It's still rolling. It's still rolling. Frankly, J. Vernon said, I am disturbed because it has never changed. We today are in the midst of political anarchy. God, have mercy on America. That's 50 years ago, Brother Dale. It's still going on, ain't it? Amen. I don't know about you. I can't find myself asking God to bless America. But I can ask God to have mercy. I think it was Habakkuk that said, in wrath, remember mercy. Amen. We need mercy. Listen tonight. I appreciate these children, don't you all? How many's confident that there's somebody over there teaching them the right way? I am too. And beloved, listen, they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to grow up and they're going to say, I want to do what's right. Or they're going to grow up and say, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. I don't care what the Bible says. Don't care what mama says. Don't care what daddy says. Don't care what the principal says. I don't care what the police officer says. I don't care what the law says. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, that's where we're at. I told the men in prison, I said, if you all will just examine your life, I said, every one of you can trace your problems back to a lack of respect for the authority that God placed in your life. Amen. You think about that for just a moment. Listen, I didn't backtalk my dad. I didn't want to have dentures for us 20. Amen. I mean that. I knew better. I didn't backtalk my mom. You say, well, why not? Because she'd tell dad. I didn't have the fear of God and I didn't have the fear of mom. But thank God I had the fear of dad. Amen. I knew there was going to be a price to pay. And I'll tell you this. This generation may not know it. But there's a price to pay for sin. It's a heavy price. Amen. It's a heavy price. How many's glad you come tonight?